Welcome to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. The companies Ron and Tevi and Rodrigo Griezzi help run are very different. One is homegrown, the other exported from Brazil to South Florida. One has a couple hundred people on its local payroll. The other is part of the global gig economy, working with freelancers all over the world. One is more than 20 years old. The other started just 5 years ago. But both are companies with technology at their heart, and both were sold in the past several months for nine figures each, at least $100 million. The deals represent the regional technology industry as it works to grow and mature. Neither Antevi or Griezzi were looking to sell their companies. Neither were really looking for investors either to take over big parts of their firms, but both found themselves fielding offers to take over their companies and to take them with them. For Antevi, remembering the day he and his brother John sold their company, eBuilder.net, is pretty easy.
John was having a birthday party for his wife on Saturday night, and we worked all day Saturday. I had been up since 5 in the morning, odds and ends and getting phone calls, all this. And we didn't get it all buttoned up until Saturday night. And we both got our DocuSign information on our phones at his wife's party.
So he'll never forget his sister-in-law's birthday. It was the day he sold the company. For Griezzi, it was more of a corporate affair in a boardroom in Hollywood with his four other founding partners. But right after signing the sales documents, it was picture time.
So right after the signature, it came the photo shoot in a real studio. So the photos came really well. It was the best pictures we have from the co-founders ever. I'm using my profile. I've used those pictures forever.
Yes, he uses the photo taken the day he sold his company as his LinkedIn profile picture. Griezzi is part of a Brazilian team behind Decora, a technology design company that produces images of products for online retailers. If you've shopped for sinks at Home Depot or furniture at Target, you've probably seen their computer-generated images. You may have thought they were photographs. They're not. We'll talk more about that later on in the program. Antevi and his brother John built eBuilder.net from an idea into a national construction services software company. Its project management technology has been used in building projects for Facebook, the University of Southern California, and the Chicago Transit Authority. Both companies were bought this year for significant prices for South Florida's tech industry. Decora sold for $100 million. eBuilder sold for $500 million. Both represent substantial price tags in the regional tech industry.
Serious money is willing to come in and pay in this region for a company. That means that there is an expectation of long-term continued success for that business. And so they're making a bet on this region by paying that kind of multiple. So that it does say a good thing.
I think when entrepreneurs close the cycle of acquisitions, they get together stronger and more knowledgeable about it, because nobody knows what's going to be the successful one. There's no metric, because it depends on so many things, especially the people involved in it, how resilient they are. And you cannot measure the people's resilience. Only with time you can see that.
And that goes for a region like South Florida, too. After all, a lot of money, time, and pride has been invested in the region's tech industry. It has been a particular focus of nonprofits like the Knight Foundation, economic development agencies across the three counties, and a congregation of incubators, accelerators, and investors concentrating on growing the technology industry as a way to diversify the regional job base in South Florida and help increase wages. Information technology investment has been growing. One out of every $6 invested by private equity investors last year in Florida went into technology firms, according to data analyzed by the Miami investment bank Casell Salpeter. For Ron Antevi of eBuilder and Rodrigo Griezzi of Decora, they didn't just take on new investors, they sold their companies. And they're sticking around. So, still to come, the decision to sell, even at a big price tag.
We had to soul search. Both of us had to sit down and say, what is this really going to mean? You know, could we get fired if we take an investor?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. When Ron Antevi and his brother John decided to look for outside investors for their construction technology company based in Plantation, they had 70 firms interested in giving them money.
You had 70 interested parties of either making an investment in eBuilder or buying it out when you decided to raise the flag.
70 that just wanted to make an investment. I had not really entertained the buying out thing, so I wasn't talking to any of those folks.
Antevi helps run eBuilder. It's a company founded by his brother in 1995. Ron joined a few years later. They sold the company earlier this year for $500 million to Trimble, a publicly traded construction technology company based in Silicon Valley. Antevi eventually narrowed down his list of 70 possible investors to 25.
I got 23 offers back. Having these options really put us in the driver's seat.
eBuilder has over 200 employees in South Florida. Most of them work at the company's headquarters in Plantation. A few of them have become millionaires thanks to the sale of the company earlier this year. Ron Antevi and his brother are two of those, but they haven't quit working. They stayed with the company they built after deciding to sell it, and they're staying in South Florida.
The one thing he and I had talked about was, whatever we do, we're going to do it together. You know, we enjoy we're yin and yang in that way, and we want to keep working together. I don't want to leave and John be here, and I don't want John to leave and me be here. So we had some conversations around that. But it felt good. After the offer came in, and then there was a negotiation process over several weeks, and there were other people involved in this process, but it started to feel like this works. This is going to make sense for us.
And as you were contemplating this, how important was it for this company that you and your brother founded and built here in South Florida, stay with some roots here in South Florida?
Well, so for Trimble, they said, we really want you to retain your identity. We want you to do what it is that has gotten you successful. This is a successful company. We are not buying it to tell you how to be successful. We just want you to keep doing what's gotten you here. So we don't want you to move. We don't want any of your titles to change. We don't want you to let any people go. We just want you to keep doing what you're doing. So they insisted, if you will, that we retain our roots, our identity, because they know that whatever the secret sauce is that's made eBuilder successful, they're smart enough to know they don't want to go try to upset that.
So it's been about roughly 3 months since it was closed. Any seller's regret at this point, Ron?
No, not. I've been too busy to have any regrets, funny enough. But no, I feel it's been great. And you always wonder. I was just talking to an employee today, and I was telling them a story when we closed. And I said, nothing is going to change. We're going to keep doing exactly what I just said. And she was sharing with me that she and some of the fellow employees were wondering, what's really going to change? And I just was talking to her today. She said, you know, it's true. Nothing's changed. And so I have no regrets. I feel I have more work, but a little bit less pressure, in the sense that I don't feel like it's my own, it's my children's future and my livelihood and everything we've built for 23 years riding every single day on every decision I make. So I have someone to share the burden with. But so that feels good. And then we're doing what we've been doing. So there's really no regret. And we had a very good quarter, too. So that makes it good.
I'll ask you about business, but that's great. Not feeling that personal pressure that your future, your family's future, and the family of dozens of other employees' future relies on decisions that you make each and every day. That's, I would imagine, one of the assets of the exit, right? Mm-hmm. In business parlance, it's called the exit strategy. But you have not exited at all from operations of the company. If anything, you've gotten more involved.
That's right. So I've really, both myself and my brother John are probably working harder than we've worked in many, many years. We've been involved in other initiatives. There's some businesses that Trimble owns that are going to be integrated with eBuilder, and we're working with those teams. We've been involved in the strategy and looking at acquisitions. There was a recent acquisition announced, and we've been involved in that process. So we are working harder than we ever did, and it is unusual. So you do, most people in this kind of a scenario, they ride off into the sunset, or they have a title that's ceremonial, but they aren't really needed. They come to the office and they don't feel needed. That's not the case here.
Through the years, in the kind of successful business that you've been able to build and the kind of margins you've been able to build, it's not the first time a potential buyer has come sniffing around. As you processed this, as you went through the sales process, what was that like for you?
Sure. So being an engineer, I'm a methodical kind of, you know, step one, two, and three kind of process person. And of course, for the last 15 years or so, we've been approached by buyers, at least 15 years that folks have come to us, financial partners, private equity, and so on. And we've always kind of blown them off, not really been interested, didn't want to look at it. Now, in the last couple of years, not quite even that long, but we've been watching the market, and we see that things are changing in the market. And so we always keep our eye on, should we be thinking about an investment or something like that? And then my brother and I decided, before we hired a banker, we said, you know, we really should explore our options, because we're seeing consolidation in the market. We're seeing some changes that are happening. Now, that process, before we actually began the formal process, was the hardest of all, because we had to soul search. Both of us had to sit down and say, what is this really going to mean? You know, could we get fired if we take an investor? Because you hear horror stories, right, of investors come along and that happens. Could the business go in a different direction and destroy the culture we've created? Are we gonna be out of work in a year and sit at home bored and regretting the decision that we made? Because we've met people that have told us those kinds of stories. So we kind of went round and round and said, you know, should we, before we explore this, let's think through what this really means. So that was the hardest part, I would say. And we both concluded, we're like, the market is, what's happening in the market, it wouldn't be the right thing to do for the business if we didn't explore. Like, we've always, at least for myself, for me, the business, it's like a child, in the sense that I put that priority for over myself, over what's good for me. I just think about what's good for the business and the 200 plus people that work here. And the dynamics that were changing in the market, I knew we had to at least look. And then we brought the professionals in to kind of run a process, and lawyers and bankers and accountants and all those folks. And in the beginning, they were asking, okay, well, what do you want to do? And I said, don't know what we want to do. You know, we want to know what options are out there. We think we want to do a minority investment, is actually what we said. We want to retain control. We see upside. What they picked up on pretty quickly, the bankers were like, listen, you obviously don't know the direction you want to go in. Our recommendation is to speak to different people that could take you in a different direction. And once you have enough of those conversations, it will start to feel right where you should go. So, yeah.
When you talk about the market, are you talking about the construction management market, or are you talking about the technology software market?
Both. So the technology software market, there's a big trend where For cloud-based software, SaaS, which is what we do.
And then software.
Software as a service.
As a service.
Which is software that's delivered over the internet. So that's a big trend that's been happening for a number of years. But another trend is the really big companies, Oracle and Microsoft and so on, SAP, were looking at vertical software businesses. So that's a newer trend where in 10 years ago, an Oracle didn't care about construction-specific software because they were selling across many industries. So that was a trend, and that's what we are. And then in the construction technology sector specifically, there have been hundreds of millions of dollars actually invested in that sector in just the last couple of years. And we've been in this business, construction technology, for 23 years, and we didn't see this investment, level of investment that we saw in the last year, the 20 years before that, we didn't see it. So we knew there's a tipping point coming for construction technology, and at the same time, the characteristics of our technology business was something the overall technology industry was also focused on. So it was like a perfect storm kind of concept.
eBuilder CEO Ron Entebbe speaking with us from a conference room at his headquarters in Plantation. He and his brother sold their company for $500 million this year, representing a significant sale of a South Florida-based technology firm. Still to come as our conversation continues, what role did the region play in the company's success? And so what about the future?
We joke around that if our business was in Silicon Valley or in New York or in one of those places, I don't think we would have survived.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and supporting public radio. Don't forget, you can follow along this program on Twitter, at WLRN is our handle on social media. Or if you've missed any of this program or any of the previous Sunshine Economies, you can search Sunshine Economy on iTunes for our podcast. Today, we're featuring our conversations with two regional technology company leaders. Both sold their companies this year for nine-figure sums, at least $100 million each. These kinds of buyouts are successful for the firms and their investors, certainly, but they also can be seen as signs of success of the broader effort to grow and attract technology firms to South Florida. Rodrigo Griezzi represents one of those companies attracted here. He helped found Decora. That's a company that designs product images for online retailers. He moved to Boca Raton a few years ago from Brazil to grow the company. We'll catch up with him later on in this program. Ron Entebbe and his brother John started and built their company in Broward County. They sold that construction technology firm, eBuilder, to a Silicon Valley-based company for $500 million, closing the deal in February. They're still with the company, and Ron says they would not have been able to build their business in any of the traditional locations where the tech industry dominates the regional economies.
South Florida has played a huge role. If we joke around that if our business was in Silicon Valley or in New York or in one of those places, I don't think we would have survived.
And why not?
Well, we hear that there's not as much technology talent. There's not five or six companies on every corner that are doing technology like there is in Silicon Valley. And what you see with the talent is they jump around a lot in Silicon Valley. Here, we had talent that stayed with us, frankly, longer than maybe they should have at times. You know, we struggled early on. I mean, certainly we have a great exit, but I can tell you hours of stories of struggles and challenges early on.
And overnight success, two decades in the making.
Exactly. Yeah. To 23-year overnight success. That's right. And so we had the employee loyalty and folks that stuck it out with us.
So you benefited from a smaller technology ecosystem. You didn't have the demand on your software engineers and your other technology talent that would really accelerate or inflate their wages, for instance, and impact your cost structure and your ability to reinvest?
That's exactly right. So we, and you don't want to be too small of an ecosystem, because then there aren't any, there's no talent out there. But we were a small enough ecosystem here that there was talent here. And the talent, if they liked what we were doing and they believed in our mission, they were loyal and they kind of helped us and worked closely with us to be successful.
E-Builder, in the technology and in the technology construction industry based here in South Florida, has weathered, by my count, two construction recessions, one of them very shallow in the early 2000s, one of them very deep in the Great Recession, mm-hmm. one dot-com bust. You're That's a right. .net technically, but nonetheless still a dot-com bust. Yep. Did you ever consider moving the company away from South Florida in order to get closer, geographically speaking, to kind of powers within the technology industry here in the United States?
So we never considered moving. We for a brief time considered changing our entire business model post-dot-com, which is also early 2000s, was mild recession. The dot-com happened, and we couldn't sell. Nobody would buy what we were selling. No one understood what we were doing. And so we started to say, maybe we need to look at technology services business, or maybe we need to, we couldn't really consider doing a different software because we didn't have any money to invest or develop. So that was probably the darkest time. And we, luckily, what kept us going then was we had a small base of customers. So this software as a service business, the beauty of it is if you can keep your customers, you're going to continue to have revenue. And we just kept our customers. We weathered that storm. And we decided to continue working forward. We also became very focused at that time on a segment of construction. So that was kind of that period. Now, the 08 recession, 08, 09, we had our largest growth years in the history of the company. And that was another kind of a funny story, is people would ask us, what do you do? And we'd say, well, we sell technology to the construction industry. And they'd say, very sorry for your loss. You know, it was like they'd feel bad for us. And we said, no, we're actually doing great. And the reason is we decided to sell to facility owners versus contractors and so on. And the owners that we sell to, they're always building, right? So we call them serial builders. So whether they're hospitals or schools or governments. And what happens in a recession, they still have to keep building. They need to figure out how to do more with less.
You've had a real active vantage point of the evolving ecosystem of technology, specifically here in South Florida. You've participated in it. You've been part of it, certainly. So as you are able to assess that evolution of the 23 years of building eBuilder, where would you estimate we are in that life cycle? And frankly, is it sustainable? Are we at a spot with technology specifically in the industry here that is going to be able to survive that next economic headwind or recession when it comes?
So I think we're in a great place. I actually think all the pieces are finally coming together here. I feel like the last 5 to 10 years, really, we've seen an evolution where we have money coming into this market. We have some larger companies, and they're bringing talent from other places, including eBuilder. We've actually hired people from Silicon Valley that have relocated to South Florida. Magic Leap, right down the street, has brought a lot of talent from other places here as well.
An augmented reality company based here in Broward County.
And the number of startups that are here now is something I didn't see a few years ago. So I feel like we've crossed the tipping point. I still think that there are some specialized roles and positions that a UX designer might be an example, or a database architect, some specialized positions with certain technologies, that there aren't enough companies here to have someone move here and take the risk that they can get a job in a second or a third place. But for the most part, we have a lot of the pieces here now. We have enough people, enough talent. The schools are part of the process now in our ecosystem. There's money, there's funding that's coming into this market. And I think we will survive the next recession or downturn.
One of the characteristics of an evolving ecosystem like this for any industry is a company like eBuilder is a company that goes through the process of founding, building itself up, becoming successful, hiring, scaling up. South Florida's technology industry, if you look at the data, very successful at startups, not successful at scale-ups. What spelled the difference for eBuilder to be able to break out of that startup culture that's always been here in small and medium-sized businesses, but be able to get into the scale-up phase that has led to the successful sale?
That's a great question. I think that scaling up, it's a completely different skill set. I feel like I had to change my entire thought process and how I thought about business in order for us to scale up. Scaling up is all about the right executive team and the right leadership. And I will tell you that the bulk of the leadership I've had to bring in from out of this area. They've relocated here. Most of them have relocated here from other places. But that's really what's taken us to the next level. You're right that there are not many companies here that have scaled, technology companies that have scaled. There's Ultimate Software and Citrix and a few others.
Mm-hmm. Your sale of eBuilder, how do you see that adding to the sustainability of the South Florida technology system?
Well, I think it's accretive because we're not going anywhere, and we're going to grow, and if anything, we're going to grow at a faster rate.
And grow here.
And we're going to grow here in South Florida. And I think that there we will probably have people in other markets that feel more comfortable to come here to South Florida and stay here because we're now a publicly traded company and they'll feel some level of confidence in taking a job with us. So if anything, we're going to grow the ecosystem even more. And if we bring some of this talent, those folks are the ones that end up starting companies, or they leave and they start other companies, and it just kind of builds on itself. So I think it's going to be a benefit.
A traditional exit trajectory for a company, once it goes through an exit for founders, but even early employees, is an influx of capital from the sale, mm-hmm. and then leaving that company and then germinating additional ideas. Have you experienced some of your original employees taking the paydays that came from the sale of eBuilder and leaving the company, but staying and talking about seeding new ventures here in technology?
It's only been a short time, it's only been 3 months, but we have had a handful of people, some of our employees that have been with us for a long time, that the longer they were here, depending on their role, they had the opportunity to earn more money on the payout. And some of them are taking a few months off now. And I hope and suspect that I'm going to hear in a few months from now that they're starting another venture or that they're looking to do something. They're not moving and they're not going to work somewhere else or for a competitor or anything like that.
eBuilder CEO Ron Entebbe. Now, the company did about $53 million of sales last year. He and his brother sold the firm for $500 million in February. Now, the cycle of starting a company, building it, selling it, and starting something new is an important feature of a sustainable technology industry, just as attracting other tech entrepreneurs to the region is. So still to come, how American online shopping helped bring a Brazilian tech firm to town.
If we're browsing on Amazon and we see a product with only one picture, I will never buy. It's only one picture. Our level is higher right now. You need to see a few pictures. You need to see a 360. So this is how you sell online. You need to have this decision support for the shopper, and content is the key for that.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. Thanks again for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson. Rodrigo Griezzi says he had a few opportunities to move to the United States from his native Brazil over the years as a serial entrepreneur, but they never happened. That is, until 2015. By then, he had been working for 3 years on a business that grew out of an incubator in Florianópolis, Brazil.
We call it Silicon Island in Brazil.
It's the capital of Brazil's southern Santa Catarina state, about 450 miles southwest of São Paulo. It is just about as far south of the equator as Boca Raton is north, where Griezzi now lives. At the incubator, he and his partners got a look at a lot of different companies and a lot of different ideas. Decora was one that caught his attention. But its first try at creating a business didn't work.
The first idea was to sell interior design projects online for consumers, for the end consumer.
The concept was to crowdsource the interior design work, tap into the gig economy by letting people around the world do the work. The problem was that the company was making one sale per month, not nearly enough to make it a profitable business. So instead of selling directly to consumers, the company pivoted to selling to other businesses. It found its niche eventually in marrying technology and art by tapping into a global freelance workforce of designers using CGI, computer-generated images.
This is nothing new. CGI has been around for a long time. Started with the gaming industry, and then Hollywood took over, and we watch movies that's almost everything CGI, and we cannot tell. Of course, we know because it's something that couldn't happen in nature, but it's so well done. But it's high budget. Hollywood and even the game industry is high budget. What we do is create 3D models of each of every product or prop or anything that you see in the picture. We create a 3D model before we start.
It's a virtual model, though. It is not a tangible model that you can touch and feel.
Exactly. It's made from wireframes inside a computer application. That it's similar to AutoCAD. People know that, and we use different applications today. But it's a graphical designer creating the wireframes and applying texture. So it's a work of an artist.
What Griezzi and his co-founders at Decora do is apply the technology to thousands of online products for retailers. So if you're shopping for a countertop at Home Depot or a dining room chair at Wayfair, the pictures you see may not be photographs at all, but computer-generated images. Decora provides the technology processes to create the images and the platform connecting designers with the work, similar to how Uber connects drivers with riders. But you'd never know the image of the product you're shopping for came from Decora, and demand continues growing.
No, you wouldn't know. You would only see a picture, a nice room that inspires you to buy. And if you realize it's CGI, we're not doing our work really well. If we're browsing on Amazon and you see a product with only one picture, I will never buy. It's only one picture. Our level is higher right now. You need to see a few pictures. You need to see a 360. You need to see a customer image, maybe. You need to see 360 pins. The more you have, the more detail of the texture and everything, you make sure you're going to buy. So this is how you sell online. You need to have this decision support for the shopper. And content is the key for that.
After developing the technology, Decora knew if it was to work with the big retailers, it was time to come to the United States. In 2015, a consulting firm in Pompano Beach had a contract with Brazil to bring 50 small companies to South Florida. More than 2,400 applied in Brazil, and Decora was one of the 50 chosen. It landed eventually at the research park at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, where Griezzi maintains an office today.
When we compare it to Brazil, where we came from in the first place, it's a huge leap for us. So it's already the U.S., and you're connected with the U.S. market. That I think is the most important thing for every company, every business, is the market. And technology business usually doesn't sell locally. You sell to whatever the client can be. So it's a myth that you need to be somewhere to create technology.
At his office inside the FAU Research Park, Griezzi pulled up an image of a kitchen as an example of the technology he's selling from Boca Raton to American online retailers.
And as long as we create a model for the faucet, for instance, we can reuse it anytime. So we build a warehouse of 3D models with this process. There's thousands of products already in this warehouse that we can reuse it. And so each time we do something, we have more products to use, and it's easier in the future to recreate scenes. Because if you're doing it in photography, you receive that product in a shipment, you mount it, build the scene, and then when you shut down the set, to reuse it, you need to build again, ship it again. So it makes total sense for today's retailers to use CGI, and especially because technology and the CGI technology looks really, it looks photorealistic. You can't tell that it's made on CGI. Maybe 5 years ago, you look at something made on a computer and you can see, oh, this is CGI. It looks good, but you see it's fake. So we cannot have this impression that it's something, fake.
Describe this. Looks like it's a very nice kitchen. It's got a big well kitchen sink, granite countertop, beautiful cabinetry, a nice plant, a window, some lemons on the cutting board, sunshine coming in through the window over the sink. Looks beautiful.
Exactly. And this is one special sink we're doing a lot today. That is the farmhouse sink. You see, this is a different style. It looks really nice. And at the end, as a non-trained CGI guy, you can see it. Oh, that's a nice photograph. And this is the idea that you can even realize that it's...
But it's not a photograph.
It's not a photograph. It doesn't exist. This room doesn't exist. So it's all made in a computer.
Rodrigo Grezzi is the director of Decora US. The company was bought out for $100 million 5 years after it started and less than 3 years after coming to South Florida. So still to come, what about it? Starting in Brazil, but growing and being bought in Boca.
In the U.S., there's a competition about where to start your company. And Silicon Valley is by far the most famous. There's a bunch of other cities, big cities, that compete for the second level. And so Boca Raton or South Florida, even Miami, it's down there.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and supporting public radio. Don't forget, you can follow along each Sunshine Economy on social media. You can look for us on Twitter with our Twitter handle at WLRN. Decora is not a major employer in its home country of Brazil, nor at its U.S. base in Boca Raton. It has just one person in South Florida, co-founder Rodrigo Grezzi. Its technology workforce is still based in its native Florianópolis, Brazil. But its $100 million buyout by online content and marketing firm Creative Drive earlier this year represents the second biggest deal for a technology company in Brazil. Decora makes computer-generated images of products for online retailers. The deal also represents another nine-figure sale of a technology company connected to South Florida and with a big desire to grow its roots here.
The USA, in terms of e-commerce, is 10 times larger than Brazil. So it was a natural decision to point our compass to here and start figuring out a way to come to the US. And then we started investing in coming here to incorporate a company and start showing up on trade shows, investing in the marketing and networking to reach the clients we would love to serve.
But why not choose a Silicon Valley where you'd have access to capital, or Seattle, Washington, where you'd have immediate access to Amazon, or someplace like Chicago, which is at least in the center, geographically speaking, of the country?
Great question. First things, we didn't want to raise capital for the process because we knew that we could have funding from the clients because we sell large accounts, and we could use that to fund our bootstrap. The second thing is that we think Silicon Valley is saturated, so everything is expensive there. If you want to hire developers, especially, or even business developers, anything, that if you want to build a team in Silicon Valley, it's going to cost you a lot. Unless you really need to be there for connections in terms of capital raising or partnerships, I don't recommend being there. And we didn't need that. And Florida is closer to Brazil. So the first thing was the logistics, was because we needed our entire shareholder team comes to the U.S. So we needed to be in a place that there will be a hub for the Brazilian residents, because only one shareholder came to live in the U.S. The other four are still in Brazil. So they needed to fly in here and then get the Miami hub to fly inside the U.S.
How important has that been in the success of Decora and its purchase, its buyout?
We came from Brazil, our connections were zero. And when we started, LinkedIn connections were 6, 5. Now it's 1, 2.
A lot closer to what you need to build and grow the company then.
Exactly. In Brazil, we had connection, first level connections with everybody, but right here, nobody. So you need to build those networks from scratch. When you study from high school, college, in the same area, you build connections in your entire life. Imagine we needed to do that in 1 year. So we needed some help, and the incubator, the research park, helped us a lot on this. Second thing is immigration. We needed support on the immigration visa, green cards, all the process to immigrate a business. We needed a support, and we had a huge support from the research park, because there was somebody seeing what we're doing that could refer to us on the petition letters and things that make our story more reputable. And the third one is a last name. When we started showing our product out there for clients, if we said, oh, we're a company from Brazil, you never heard about, your mind doesn't click. But if you say, oh, we're in the research park on a huge university, FAU, Florida, and then you start clicking, and trust comes easier when you have this last name, this background.
Were you or the co-founders looking to sell the company?
Not at all. Not at all. We were looking to grow the company and make it profitable. This was the first thing. And
Is it profitable?
Yes, a lot.
With a company that was, 5 years old at this time, that had been in the United States for 2.5 years, $100 million print on valuation. It's a pretty healthy print. I mean, that's a very successful exit.
Exactly, exactly. It's way more than we thought we could reach. Even if you go to Florianopolis, the Silicon Island, Decora is a huge example of success down there. Because we were the startup that started from scratch, because you're not building something on top of a company that exists. It was nothing. It was just an idea that came to an execution. So for the startup community in Floripa, in south of Brazil, Decora is a very good example, and we like that to help the environment to be stronger. To get first more investors coming in, trusting that there are some projects that we can go to the higher level. And second thing, even for the Brazilian startups to break those barriers, those intercontinental barriers that everybody has, to go overseas is something that's forbidden, because I'm never gonna, this, it's not that. If you bring something legit, hardworking, that really creates a value for a client, you can go wherever you want in the world, try to find your client. And this is the today's globe is like that. So break those mental barriers, help breaking those mental barriers for the Brazilian companies to come and trade with the U.S. more and bring value to the U.S. also, not only Brazilians coming in and getting it, but for the U.S. companies, they're going to get value, and everybody together makes more than isolated. And Brazil and the U.S. have a great relationship for businesses. And so this is something really good we're seeing down there in Brazil. People are more interested in coming here and more motivated, more self-confident.
The same idea that you're expressing in regards to how the Decora example and experience and success is a model for your colleagues and entrepreneurs in Brazil. I'm wondering, do you feel the same way that the Decora example and growth and successful exit is a model at all for the South Florida technology ecosystem?
Definitely, definitely. I think in the U.S. there's a competition about where to start your company, and Silicon Valley is by far the most famous, but nobody knows the details about it, the cost of it, and some people just go there and fail because the cost of it, or it was tougher to be there. So in the U.S. there's a huge competition, and Silicon Valley is the league, right, the high league. And then there's the second level. There's a lot of other New York, and New York is first actually, but there's a bunch of other cities, big cities that compete for the second level. And so Boca Raton or South Florida, even Miami, it's down there. So I know that this can help people understand that this is not the main thing where you put it. It's other things that you need to put into consideration. And I think, and I like to help people understand that there's opportunities everywhere. And South Florida is a great place to be. The climate is awesome comparing to the to what you have on other.
Does it remind you of home a little bit?
Yes, it reminds me. I think for Brazilians, it's more easy to come here than to go north. And I think the cost of opportunity here is better, especially if you go to New York or Silicon Valley.
Decora is an interesting example of a new generation of companies that has a very small headcount, but can have a very high valuation and a high financial impact. Certainly that's the case here in Boca Raton in South Florida. You are the guy here. There's not dozens of or hundreds of employees here. It doesn't have a big impact on the job market per se. But how does Decora think about its role within the technology ecosystem here in South Florida post sale of the company at such a strong dollar figure?
I think this is something really interesting for South Florida, because we have our starting point here that's going to bring way more jobs even for here, because we need to have more people closer to our clients. We, Decora, before the deal, we were still on that startup mode, really lean, and all the shareholders, we did everything. But right now, post-deal is different. We're a larger company. We need to jump a different level, and I think this is where we can come up with more structure, more even jobs generated here in South Florida.
Are you committed to Boca and to South Florida's Decora? Have any plans to stick here?
Yes, I will. Yes. Personally, I live here with my family and my wife and kids, and Boca High, Boca Middle, and now FAU. My older's going to FAU. So I love here, and I'll be here. I'll be around.
One of the co-founders of Decora there, Rodrigo Griezzi. He's now the U.S. director. He moved from Brazil to Boca Raton to grow the company, which sold for $100 million earlier this year. You can always find us on Twitter for all the latest headlines and links to our web stories. At WLRN is our handle there. And don't forget to look out for a podcast of this program, and you can catch up on all the other past Sunshine Economies. Just search the term Sunshine Economy on iTunes to find the download. Pilar Ribe is our technical director. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening.